Have you noticed how many people have what could be called Trump derangement syndrome? They might be normal, rational people, but bring up the name Donald Trump and all of a sudden they go bonkers. Well, we're going to talk about the incredible hatred against our current president. Right now, our guest is Doug Weed, who's an official presidential biographer. He has written officially biographies for Ronald Reagan and the Bush family. And then also he's written one now called Inside Trump's White House, InsideTrumpsWhiteHouse.com for more information, without an apostrophe as far as the website is concerned. I'm Jerry Nukin. This is Vocal Point. And Doug, it's great to have you on the program again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Before we get into what's happening now, even when it became very clear that Trump was the Republican nominee and he was facing Hillary, there were so many different voices and polls that all seemed to indicate he was going to be slaughtered. I remember on this radio program, I had a good friend who's a great writer and historian and so forth. He said, "All right, Jerry, I'm going to predict right now on your radio show, Donald Trump is history. He's going to be, you know, cleaned out by Hillary because he's such a, you know, whatever." And he proved them all wrong, didn't he? And was there a single poll even that showed him winning? I don't remember that there was a single one. They were all against him.
There was one poll. It was the Los Angeles Times. And the man who conducted the poll, who was the supervisor of the poll, was so ridiculed and so attacked and humiliated by his colleagues that he denied his own poll, the facts of his own poll. And his poll was right on the money. And after the election, you could compare the numbers and see.
That's a fascinating anecdote. And by the way, talk closer into your microphone, if you would, for the phone. I appreciate
okay.
that.
Sorry.
Okay, so once Trump won, and by the way, even in the process of getting to that point, I remember one of the debates, Jeb Bush, who was a great guy. I mean, I've interviewed Jeb Bush before, and I live here in Florida. This station is in Florida, and he did a wonderful job as governor, seriously. And anyway, at one point, he turns to Donald Trump, and he says, "Donald, you can't insult your way to the White House." But is it possible that some of the vitriol that's directed against Donald Trump is from his combative, you know, New York in-your-face type style?
Some of it is, but a lot of it is financed by and influenced by the national media. And the national media is driven by the establishment. Donald Trump has deregulated. And the name of the game always has been, never will change, it's monopoly. And so the big corporations that own the media and others that sponsor the news departments of the media and news companies of the media, those large corporations depend on regulations to develop their monopolies. They keep you from starting a competitive business because of the regulations. And then once they're in power, they have their monopoly, there's a recession, doesn't matter if the president's Republican or Democrat, they pass a stimulus bill, a bipartisan stimulus bill, which, among other things, exempts those big companies from the very regulations that were passed to keep you from starting up. And then you add one more wrinkle. These companies are all multinational. Most of them have deals with China. So the result is you have a lot of money that is lost when Donald Trump came to power and started deregulating and allowing the American middle class back into the free market.
So Trump, or with Trump, it's not business as usual.
He's breaking the dishes. He's turning over the tables. He's changing everything. You know, Sun Tzu said, "Out of chaos comes opportunity." And this explains Donald Trump. He blows up NAFTA, and then he rebuilds it better. He blows up NATO, and the media just went crazy. Oh, he's destroying our, he's a Russian spy. He's destroying our oldest ally. The Pentagon generals come in and lecture him like he's a little boy. "These are our friends, sir." And Trump says, "Well, if they're our friends, Why do they lie to us? Why do they sign this treaty and don't deliver the money they promised to deliver? Why should our middle class living in Iowa pay for high-speed railways in Germany and airports all across Europe when their own cities are descending into poverty? And he blows up NATO. He rebuilds it. He has raised, for example, $100 billion for NATO. It's stronger than it's ever been. The head of NATO loves him. He rebuilt NAFTA. The conservative said, oh, he's not a real conservative. He's against the North American Free Trade Agreement. Well, NAFTA was 17,000 pages long. Keep in mind, the Bible is 1,000 pages. That means nobody ever read NAFTA. They just read the 10 pages that they wrote. And it filled with corruption and crony capitalism. And the new bill that's passing, USMCA, is far better. Mexico likes it better. Canada likes it better. America likes it better. And it's going to create a lot of jobs.
Is part of the opposition he's getting maybe from well-paid lobbyists in D.C. on K Street, that kind of thing?
Very much so, because the lobbyists are hired by the companies. And those big companies that have monopolies going, they're not evil. You know, if you and I were on their board of directors, we'd want to have a monopoly, too. That's how they make their money.
All right. Comment on Donald Trump and farmers. I've read some articles where farmers, by and large, support President Trump, but they are being hurt by his policies. That's kind of what the mainstream media says.
Well, as you may know, he's provided the money to make up. They have to apply, but the money is there to make up for anything they've lost while they've been put on hold for this China agreement. But now it looks like, just today, the news we're hearing is that he's going to get the Chinese agreement, which means there'll be a huge bonanza for American farmers. Look, you and I have experienced in our lifetime the largest transfer of wealth in world history outside of the Middle East, and that is the wealth of the American middle class to China. And that happened under Republican and Democrat presidents. The president I worked for, George H.W. Bush, loved the Chinese. He was the first representative there to the Chinese when they came out of their years of isolation. And Bill Clinton approved 15 meetings with the WTO, and then George W. Bush signed the document to allow China in the WTO. And since then, China has been taking $600 billion in intellectual property and $500 billion in trade every year.
All right. We're talking right now with Doug Weed. His book is called Inside Trump's White House. The website is insidetrumpswhitehouse.com, and there's no apostrophe there. Also, his website for other books he's written, he's a official presidential biographer, which is really a great honor, Doug, for a writer. DougWeed.com, W-E-A-D. Okay, I look at all these incredible accomplishments of the president, then I turn around and I see all the cultural forces arrayed against him. So all the nighttime comedians are saying jokes, and it's not just playful type of jokes. I mean, Johnny Carson would make playful jokes about Carter and about Reagan and about Bush or whatever, but there wasn't a mean spirit to it. These are not even jokes in some ways. This is like just this vitriolic hatred that is spewed forth against Donald Trump. What's that all about?
And his family.
Yeah,
it's pretty atrocious. I mean, a reporter for the New York Times claimed that the First Lady, Melania Trump, had been a prostitute, and he wasn't fired. He apologized, but he wasn't fired. That gives you an idea. Late-night comedian promoted the hashtag incest for the Trump family and wanted everybody in their television audience to get on Twitter and get on and hashtag that statement. It's pretty horrible what they've gone through. I asked Ivanka how she endures what they're going through. She says, I refuse to be bitter. I will not be bitter. I can't function unless I'm happy. So I choose to be happy. I thought that was very impressive to me.
Hmm. But why the vitriol? Well, I mean, what is it about Donald Trump that has these people, you know, Robert De Niro, award-winning actor, I believe he's award-winning actor, you know, Godfather fame and so forth. He gets on TV and, you know, blank Trump, blank Trump, blank Trump, and everybody goes wild. What is this all about, Doug?
Yeah. Well, some of it's cultural. You know, I told you the money angle, and they're all influenced by the money because many of those big corporations own Hollywood and own the big companies of Hollywood. I mean, ABC and Disney. Disney owns a big chunk of what happens in Hollywood.
Hmm.
And they don't like his culture. Now, Donald Trump's very lewd, as you know well. I mean,
yeah.
He uses the F word. You know, I've interviewed him for hours and hours. But what many people have learned is that he has a very deep faith. And his father would take him to church on Fifth Avenue there. The pastor was Norman Vincent Peale. And Trump was a young man, a teenager, growing up under that preaching, and he loved it. He cried when Norman Vincent Peale died, and that positive interpretation of Scripture is very important to him. So even though he's got this brass New York personality, he's appointed 153 judges, federal judges that Obama had left unfilled. I worked in the George H.W. Bush White House, and if a person applied for a job in personnel, and I was told by people who worked there that if on their application it said Gordon Cornwall Theological Seminary, they would drop the application in the trash can and wouldn't even enter it. That was a conservative Republican administration. In the Donald Trump administration, he has evangelical Christians well represented in federal judgeships and in positions in the White House. And that's unheard of.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The Constitution says there should be no religious test for any federal office. And some of the appointees of Donald Trump have unfortunately been raked under the coals by Bernie Sanders and Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris and so forth. Oh, you're a Knights of Columbus. Yeah, at one point, Dianne Feinstein said to a pro-life judge, the dogma lives deep within you. And you know, I can't vote for you because of that. But this was a Trump appointee. And I think she made it, thank God. But still, the judges that Trump has appointed has been such a beautiful blessing to the country.
Well, boy, some of the stories in the book about those judgeships. And I can tell you, when I worked in the George H.W. Bush White House, we had a lot of large evangelical organizations complaining about the IRS, and they were upset over judges. So we did a study. And a study showed of 749 federal judges, there are more than 900, but that's how many had been appointed at the time. Only four of them claimed to be born-again Christians.
Wow.
Which represent about 40% at the time, the American public. So Judge Scalia was saying, when are we going to get an evangelical Christian on the Supreme Court? And the argument was used, well, you can't have a religious test for office. And the evangelical leaders were saying, that's our point. You do have a religious test.
Yeah.
And the test is, if you're an evangelical, you're not allowed.
All right, we have 20 seconds left. What do you want to say in conclusion about Trump derangement syndrome?
If you read inside TrumpsWhiteHouse.com, you will find there a normal family, the grandkids, screaming through the halls of the state floor, playing hide-go-seek with Uncle Barron, hiding behind drapes in the blue room and under chairs in the red room. They're a wonderful family, a delightful family. They refuse to be bitter over what's happening to them. and they will stay positive. And Melania, she's the star of the book inside Trump's White House.
Oh, wow.
An amazing person.
Good. All right, Doug Weed, thanks so much. Appreciate it. God
Thank
bless you.
You
now.